So good morning again, and thank you for being here with us. So today, just we're gonna wrap up this series, Chasing Light, and we've been in it. This will be our third week, and what we've done is, you know, light is one of those things where when you put it on something, it brings clarity, it brings life. Light is just an important piece. Without it, obviously there's darkness and there's death. Nothing can survive without it. And so today we're gonna wrap it up and been looking at some very specific areas of just things that we deal with. There are really three main things that all sin comes from, and we've been talking about the first two. We talked about pride, and if you missed that, you can go to the website and listen to that one. Last week we talked about greed, and today we're going to talk about the third one, and it's lust. And so everything that we struggle with, everything that we deal with, every sin that we could ever commit flows through one of those three things. And so we've got to deal with them. If we don't deal with them, then we find ourselves with some area that is exposed, and some area that we can fall short in, and certainly can keep us separated from God. And so we've been very upfront and very honest with them. I told you I could have come up with a lot of cute little titles to dress up pride and dress up greed and dress up lust, but they just are what they are. And so we're going to talk about lust today, and it's going to be maybe in some ways that maybe you've never heard it talked about in church before. And so I don't make any apologies about that, and I'm not going to go anywhere that I don't feel like I'm supposed to go, but I just want you to know that we have to be honest about it. If not, then these are the very things that Satan will use to keep us distracted and keep us from being all that he wants us to be, and the church will continue to suffer because of it, because we're just not willing to take it on and confront it. And so I want us to just dig down in there. I told you the story the first couple of weeks. I'll highlight it this week. But there was a wanderer who came up upon an old monastery, an old abbey, and he was looking for a place to stay. He goes in. He meets this little lady, that the caretaker. He just wants a place to sleep. She says, "Yes, I've got a cottage. If you'll clean it up, you can sleep in it. And you can stay there." So she takes him back. The place is just dirty, nasty. The windows are covered. You can't see in. And she says, "If you'll clean it up, you can stay there." So she hands him a bucket and a brush, and he immediately begins to clean, and he begins to wipe off the windows. And as he wipes off the windows, light begins to come in, and it begins to show just how bad it is inside. And it reveals the dusty, dirty mess in there. It reveals the cobwebs and spider webs. It reveals the mice and all the other stuff that's in there. It's just dark and dirty. And so what this series has been about us chasing light and us wiping off the windows and allowing the light to come in so that it begins to show what's going on with us, so that we can then allow God and through His Word and His Holy Spirit to begin to clean us up and bring us to be where He wants us to be. And so that's kind of how we get here, because this lady reveals to them, she says, you know, the old ancient saints said that there was always these things keeping people from being who they're supposed to be. There's pride, which is a preoccupation with self and with power, you know, self-empowerment. There's greed, which is a preoccupation with possessions. And then there's lust, which is a preoccupation with pleasure, especially when it deals with sexual pleasure. And so this is where we find ourselves, because it's very clear that those are the things that we struggle with. And so today we're going to deal with lust. And here's what the scripture teaches us in Proverbs 28, verse 13. It says, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper." So in Proverbs 28, 13, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive" what?
Mercy.
And If it's one thing that I think that we seek and desire, it's mercy in our lives. And it is to be found. It is not to be pain. It is not to be hurt. It is not to be those things. But what God desires to give us is mercy. And so if we conceal our mess, like that cottage with the dusty, dirty windows, if we allow it to stay that way, then unfortunately that's how we'll stay. But if we begin to clean off the windows and chase the light and let it come in, then we can truly receive mercy from God. And so today we're going to deal with the topic of lust. We're going to look down into it, and we're going to be very specific when it comes to this preoccupation with pleasure, especially sexual pleasure. That is something that I think we have kind of hid from too long and not been honest enough about it. And so today I want you to give you some stats, because here's what somebody once told me. Somebody said, "I just don't think it's as big a problem as you say it is." Okay. You sure about that? Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't struggle with it. Well, let me just tell you this morning, if you don't struggle with it, I promise you there is somebody, more than just one somebody in this room, that struggles with it. It is one of those things that we kind of hide behind a lot of times, and we couch it in some particular areas that we'll talk about, but it's something that we struggle with. The statistics are there, and therefore there has to be a problem with it. So let me just give you some stats. The revenue from porn is larger than all the revenues of ABC, NBC, and CBS combined. You got your notes there. You may want to fill that in, but the revenue from porn is greater than all the three main broadcast companies all put together. It's a lot of money, right? The second one is this. How many kids do we have between the ages of 8 and 16 in here? Raise your hand if you're between the ages of 8 and 16. All right, so I'm just being honest with you, okay? These are the statistics, isn't it? This isn't Pastor Ron's words. This is the true statistic that 90% of all 8 to 16-year-olds have viewed porn online. And some of you are hating me for making you raise your hand right now. Hang in there. It's okay. We love you, okay? I didn't try to get you in trouble with your parents, okay? So, but I want to be honest about it. So it's a man's problem, right? Isn't this what men struggle with this? Isn't this a man's problem? That's what we would think, right? But here's the truth of it. That 33% of all of those that viewed online porn are women. It's not just a guy's problem. There are women, and the numbers for women are growing at a drastic amount. So it's not just a guy's problem. The third one is this. We like McDonald's, right? McDonald's are all over the place. Everywhere you go has got a McDonald's. But adult bookstores, and now just the places you can go view it, outnumber McDonald's in our country 3-1. And then here's the most telling one. Let me just lay this out here. That porn increases the rate of marital infidelity by 300%. It causes a problem, y'all. If you don't know somebody that's had a problem with this, I'm telling you, you do. Because the statistics are there. And there's plenty of marriages that you know and I know that have come to a problem where there's been a problem with this very thing. It is an issue, and we have to deal with it. We've got to be honest about it. If we don't talk about it, how in the world are we ever going to be able to find the mercy that Solomon talks about in Proverbs? It's a big deal. How big a deal? I'm going to give you a very distinct picture of how pornography affects us and how big and how dangerous it can be. There's an old English Eskimo tale of how the Eskimos used to hunt wolves, because wolves were dangerous. They would cause them, you know, eat their food supply and all of that stuff. So they had to find a way to deal with it. So the way they would hunt wolves is that they would take a knife, They would sharpen it on both edges, very sharp. They would take it, dip it into the blood of a rabbit or some animal, and they would allow it to freeze. They would dip it back in, pull it back out, and allow it to freeze again, and then they would stick it in the ground straight up. So what would happen would be that the wolves would begin to smell the blood. They would come, and smelling the blood, they would begin to lick the blood off of the knife. Eventually, they would lick through those layers of the frozen blood until they would make it to the blade of that knife. And because of the coldness of the blood, the tongue would be numb, and it would begin to slice the tongue of the wolf up. Not being able to feel it, it would continue to lick until finally it had damaged itself so much that it would go away and it would bleed to death and die. Now that is a gross, nasty story, isn't it? Some of you are like, what in the world? Where did this guy get this one from? But I want you to understand how pornography works. It begins with something very simple that we find ourselves coming to, and then we find ourselves coming back to, and before long we become numb to it, that it really causes the harm that it causes. We continue to come back and come back and come back until now, sooner or later, this takes us over and it causes death. Maybe not physical death, but certainly spiritual death and emotional death. And those two are some of the most powerful things that we could ever lose in our lives. And so we see ourselves here. So that's pretty dramatic, right? But let's just get down and find out what the scriptures teach us about what this says. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, and remember, because here's how we try to pass this off a lot. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. God's not causing your problem. God's not making it accessible to you. He's not making you desire it. He's not putting it out there for you. Are you with me? He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us. I love the way that this word entices us. It gets us to lick the knife, and then it drags us away to die. That's basically what happens. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. That's what happens. It's the reality of where we find ourselves. He entices us. This word the word entice comes from in the Greek is delazio, which means to entrap, to allure, to entice, or I love this one, to hook. Because if you can get hooked, if Satan can hook you, he's got you. Right, we were able to host the Fishers of Men tournament Friday night. Those guys came in and we were able to feed them. Thank you to everybody that served and cooked and did all the things to make that possible here. But we were able to have all these fishermen in. They come in into town to fish in a tournament. Their whole desire is to get a fish on the what? Hook. Because if they've hooked it, they've what? Caught it. And it now is theirs. Unless they make a decision to let it go. And let me just tell you that Satan never chooses to let it go. He'll never let you go once he gets you. It's not what he wants to do. He wants to hold on to you. And so that's what happens when we allow ourselves to be enticed and to be hooked. And there's some stages of this act of hooking that happens for us. And here's the first one, that you're exposed to sexual immorality or impurity. You're exposed to sexual impurity in some manner. Maybe it's your kid, you go over, the neighbor says, hey, let's play doctor. It's kind of a simple thing, right? We've all heard those little stories, and we think they're all cute and no harm, no foul. But before long, it's, you know, you show me yours and I'll show you mine. That's how that flows, right? And that's one of those things that just, it begins to grow. You go over, you find your buddy, you and your buddy find your dad, his dad's stash of magazines and you begin to thumb through them and look through them, or you find the video stash, or you go over, you get online and you begin to find the websites. There's all kinds of ways that this happens, but at some point you're exposed to sexual impurity. Unfortunately, for some of us, maybe even in this room, that didn't happen as easy as those. It came through the abuse of somebody. Somebody maybe that you trusted, and they chose to molest you, or they chose to harm you in some way. And so let me just tell you that if that's you, you need to know that there's healing for that. And we can't really dig into that area today, but if I can help you in any way, please let me know. We will get you in touch with anybody we can to help you in any way to deal with that. But we get exposed to it somehow. There's always something, some way that Satan will use to hook us. And once we're exposed, we're messed up in this, and we begin to follow it. The second is that you sustain a mental injury. Have you ever just thought about the fact that it comes from an injury where you've been harmed? That there is a true wound that comes from your exposure to this impurity? I mean, it's like a computer virus that gets in and it begins to just change the way things are supposed to work, and it makes things do things that they're not supposed to do, and it begins to just infect the whole thing until it can cause it to not be what it's supposed to be. And for me, it happened at the age of 9. That first time I was exposed to that stash of magazines, I can remember the day. I can remember the images still in my brain today, and we'll talk some about that. That those very things are there, and it's an injury. And if we don't deal with injuries, what happens? They get infected, and they can cause more harm and even death. And so we need to be able to deal with that. We are exposed to impurity. We suffer an injury, and then we become sexually confused. I know that in our day today, we tend to think that means, well, we don't know if we're male or female. Well, that can be part of it, but let me just tell you that it's even more than that. You get that rush, that thrill from those moments, and those chemicals are released into your body the moment that you're exposed to those kinds of things, and then all of a sudden there's this thrill and this excitement, and then sooner or later there comes the shame and the guilt. So should I be excited or thrilled by it, or should I be shameful and hurt by it? The confusion begins, and Paul says in Romans 7, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I should do, I don't do. And then here's where the confusion comes in. He says, who can save me? And for many of us, we're like, who can save me? Who can help me in all of this? There's a confusion that takes place. You know, I'm bad. I shouldn't do this. But then we begin to justify it. Well, you know, it's not hurting anybody else. So we justify, and then we're healed, you know, seemingly for a period of time, or then we get married, and we think, oh, well, I can justify all of this within the marriage relationship. Which you just need to know that ain't how it works. It only makes it worse. We justify it. There's a rush, and then there's a shame. There's sexual impurity, there's an injury, and then there's confusion. And then number 4, you experience these periods of sexual sobriety followed by sexual binges. Yeah, maybe you go a week or two or month or so, and you say, I got it beat. And before long, Satan throws another hook out, and he sends something else that gets your attention to get you back on the hook, back on the area of it. And so there's these times of going, you know, yeah, I'm doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden, man, the bottom drops out. And it goes back and forth. And so there's this issue going on within us, and lust is there to drive us to become preoccupied with pleasure. I deserve it. I should feel good. It makes me feel good, and I should feel good. God wants me to feel good. I can't find the scripture that says it's okay to do what he says don't do, and what and takes you to a place that he clearly says don't go, if it just because it makes you feel good. We need to be honest about it, and we struggle with it. And so now you've experienced this injury, and you think maybe you've got it healed up for a little bit, but then it shows back up with this incredible open wound, and you've got an injury, and it hasn't healed. And so what do you do with it? I want to read to you some confessions of some people who have dealt with this very thing in their lives. And I want to be honest with you, they're pretty graphic, okay? But I think you need to hear it. Because it's not just these people. There are people that we know. There are people that we're dealing with. If you're not dealing with it, I promise you know somebody that is. Let me just read to you what they said. The first one is, I guess, would be a male. He says, I used to have a devastating addiction to porn. I don't know if I'm truly over it or not, he says. The images are burned into my mind and I cannot get them out. You hear that? That's an injury that's been caused by what he's experienced. If I ever want to binge on porn, I don't have to go online or even to an adult bookstore. I simply close my eyes. The next one is a lady that writes this. Many men in my life group, and this is not people from our church, I'm going to be honest with you, so don't try to figure out who this is. Many in my life group have confessed to this being a problem at some point in their life, but never any women. I am a woman, a mother, a Christ follower who self-satisfies herself and views porn online. I'm so shamed by this. Yet it seems totally separate from who I am. I attend church every week in a life group and various Bible studies, and yet I've satisfied myself sexually for many years and watched porn alone for the past few years. I find my sex life with my husband dull, too short, boring, and nearly non-existent. And then listen to her confusion. I want to be free, but I also enjoy it while being sickened at the same time. And then here's how she closes it. Listen to So now that it's out in the open, I'm going to go and vomit. That's her confession. That's her words. The next one, I think, for many of us in the room, is going to be kind of shocking, and it's going to be difficult to hear this, and some of us are going to pass some judgments on this, but I want us to be honest that, again, I don't think this is so much of the exception. This person says, I've struggled with pornography for many years. I found myself watching things as awful as gay sex, transsexual sex, animal sex. I'm so sorry and ashamed of myself. These things are not attracting to me, but I have distorted my mind for so many years that I became bored with regular sexuality. Please, please, please pray for me. You see, it works just like any other drug. See, those chemicals that are released become a drug, just like for any addicts. Once they get a high here, then the next time they've got to go here to get a high, and then here to get a high, and here to get a high. It's just the same. And we've dismissed this as, oh, it's just natural. It's not just natural, y'all. Because sooner or later, it takes something else to get people to that place. And then we find ourselves dealing with someone being harmed or hurt because we weren't willing to be upfront about it in the beginning. And so today I want us to always be able to do that. Listen to this man. I'm leading a double life. On the surface, I'm a great husband, father, and businessman. I'm active at our church. I have deep addictions to homosexuality. I did things in college I wasn't proud of. See, there was an injury that happened. He says, I married my high school sweetheart when I graduated. Now I have been spending more time with a fellow church member, and we have done things that we are not proud of. We find reasons to sneak out of the house and lie to our wives. I'm going to tell my wife this week what I've been doing, and I hope she forgives me. You feel the pain of these people. The honesty and the ability to open it up when nobody knows who it is and nobody knows the truth of who it may be harming and all of that, but there is a realness there. These aren't made up stories. They aren't just, and again, they aren't, I don't think, the exception, but here's what the scripture teaches us. Listen, that's there, and that's harsh for some of us to hear, but it's truthful. But here's the thing: he who conceals his sin doesn't prosper. But whoever confesses them and renounces them finds mercy. So today, we're not here to condemn people for where they are. I'm not here to point out to you, to harm you, to hurt you, or anything else, but it's time that some of the hurt and the harm stops. And if we can't be a church where that happens, I don't want to be here. So we've got to be honest about it. I remember playing softball, and when I would play, I was known to be a head-first slider. That was my thing. The old Pete Rose, you know, some of you older guys in here with me, right? Oh, head first, slide in, man. I love that. Was just my thing. I was going to do it. And that was even back when I didn't have all this to cushion me when I hit, all right? And so what would happen would be when I would slide in, I would always tear up the front of my legs. You know, if I was wearing shorts, man, it would just be strawberries, terrible. And I remember one time I did it, and so what I would always do, it'd always be bloody, right? Because that was cool, you know, it'd be bloody. But so what I'd do is I'd grab some handfuls of dirt and just rub them on there. I'm good to go, right? And we'd just keep on playing, right? Because if you had blood all over, you couldn't play. So I just, you know, covered it with dirt, and we were good. But guess what happens whenever you throw dirt on exposed wounds like that? They often don't heal, and they get infected, and it would happen to me. And I remember, you know, not being able to, you know, having to put big bandages and keep my pants, you know, I couldn't wear jeans or whatever because it would get so bad because I wouldn't take care. I thought they would just heal on their own, all that. I wouldn't get all the dirt out of there, and I didn't take care of the wounds. Can I just be honest with you? Some of us in the room today haven't dealt with our wounds. We haven't been real about them. We haven't done what needs to be done to them. And we certainly haven't found or sought mercy and healing for them. And today I want us to be able to do that. Because this is one of the areas that we have to be real about. We have to be willing to dig into it to be able to have it. So I don't know where your injury came. I don't know how it came. I don't know when it came. I don't know, you know, anything about it, but I know where mine came, and I know the healing. And here's the thing about the injury. If you've not protected it, it may become more infected. You know, looking at something, doing something, thinking about something, participating in something that you just continued on because you never dealt with it, and the injury has become infected, and now it's not healed, and it's time to do that. So let me give you some ways today to help you deal with the wounds. Maybe this isn't for you. Maybe you're good with this. But I'm telling you that somebody that you know is not. And so today may be one of those messages that maybe it just doesn't do a whole lot for you. Maybe it even kind of ticks you off a little bit. How in the world can the pastor stand up and talk about that and say some of those things? Well, if you're surprised, you certainly don't know me very well and hadn't been around me a whole lot. Because I'm always going to be straight up about it. I'm always going to do it. And quite honestly, I've said some things from the stage that shocked me sometimes. But I had to say them that way, not because I wanted to, but that's just the way it had to be said. And so today, that's what we do. But here's the first thing. If you're going to protect the wound, first, you got to bounce your eyes. You got to bounce your eyes. The moment that they lock on to the back of those jeans, okay, to be honest with you, you know what I'm talking about. The moment that they lock onto them, you've got a problem. Because you're not going to just think, gosh, those are nice jeans. You're thinking about what's in them. So guys, you got to be willing to not lock on and not let your eyes stay there. You got to move them. You got to bounce them off of whatever they hit on. Whatever, wherever. You got to be willing to bounce them away and not get stuck doing it. You know what I do sometimes? This is just kind of, because I don't make any bones. Struggle. If you don't know me, I was addicted to porn for more than half my life. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. So I've been there, done that, and I know what this is for real. And so I used to struggle with that. And so now that I've learned to bounce my eyes off, it's kind of interesting to watch other men when someone else walks through the room. That's how I bounce my eyes, quite honestly. I bounce my eyes from wherever they could be to where your eyes are. It's very interesting sometimes to see who will lock on and stay on. So now y'all are going to be like, I better bounce my eyes for sure, Pastor Ron will catch me. But it's serious. I mean, not just for you guys. I'm just one of the ways I do it. And I don't judge. I mean, I you know what I do is I pray because I know what that's like. I mean, I'm not perfect, okay? But that's one of the ways I get my eyes off of that is to look at other guys' eyes so that then I can begin to pray for them and it changes the whole situation. But bounce your eyes. Matthew 5, 27, 29. You thought my wolf story was bad. Check this out. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. I don't sound so bad now, do I? Think about that. Was he being literal here? If he is, then there'd be a whole bunch of pastime pirates in this place. Because we've done it. But I believe he means that, listen, then you got to do something different with your eyes. You can't let them be used for what Satan wants you to use them for. You got to bounce them away. Like the guy at the mall and is standing there, you know, guys don't like to go into the shops with their wife, hang out in the aisle, so happens to be out there, guy didn't see his wife coming out, but he did see the young lady walk by him. And she walked up to him and says, you know, I hope that was worth looking at for all the trouble that's going to cost you for the rest of this trip. Because she's going to get her money's worth out of the mall trip because she just busted him and he was going to have to get himself out of trouble. Right? But listen, for some of us, it wouldn't cost us a trip to the mall. It might cost us our marriage. It might cost you your position in the church. It might cost you your position in life. It may, all the things that can implode and just come right in on you from letting yourself get dragged in one time and get hooked. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes and I looked with lust at a young woman. That's how what the NLT says. I don't know, there's some good-looking older women. I don't know, we should qualify it with, I like the way it just leaves it at a girl. You know, we don't need to look at any lady lustfully. One, it demeans them and it takes away from who they are. And we need to learn how to not do that. So bounce your eyes. The second one is this, capture sinful thoughts. Capture sinful thoughts. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, it says, in the NIV, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. But in the NLT, this is, it says we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We can teach our thoughts to obey Christ. We can begin to think on things that are good and things that are what God wants us to think on and begin to be focused on that. Capture your thoughts. The moment it comes, you've got to acknowledge it and say, you know what, I shouldn't think that. And God, forgive me of that. And God, help me to think of something different. And maybe if you just keep thinking and talking to God, you'll get your mind off of whatever it was. Paul said in Philippians 4:8, he says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. It says that anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Think about it. Think about something good. Think about your wife. If something, you know what? If some young girl walks by and thinks of, and kind of gets your mind to jump, when you bounce your eyes, how about bouncing them to your own wife and begin to think about her and how much you love her? Because she's really the one you're going home with. So you need to see her the way that she is and love her the way that she's made. Capture the sinful thoughts. Protect the wound. Get that wound. Don't let it become infected. Bounce your eyes. Capture sinful thoughts. And then this one, number three, run for your life. Run. Run. Proverbs 5:8 says, when it comes to the adulterous woman, stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. Some of us think we can be at work and we can kind of flirt with that lady or that guy. See, let's just keep dogging the men, okay? So we think we can just do that and it be okay, and I'm telling you, it's not okay. It will eventually, the hook will get sunk. And you know what a fisherman does when they feel that hook kind of get bit? They yank it and it's hooked and it ain't coming out. And so before you get yanked right out of the water, you gotta flee. You gotta run. Flee. 1 Corinthians 6:18. It says that we need to flee. Run from it. Get away from it, from sexual sin. It's the word fugo. It means to run away, to shun, to vanish, to escape. We need to be able to run from it and get away from it. So what do we do? How do we do that? Let's just chase some light here. How do we deal with this lust? How do we deal with it in our lives? How do we protect the wounds, and how do we find a way to get over it? First, let me just give you some very practical things. Destroy the stash. If you got a stash, if you got stuff, you got magazines, you got videos, you got whatever, it's time to trash them. If you got some, if whatever it is, see, we're thinking Playboy and Hustler, and you're thinking, what do your husband have? All those things. How about that Victoria's Secret catalog you keep leaving around for your 12-year-old to grab? We don't think about that, do we? How about the Cosmo magazine? Like the 475 ways to make your boyfriend happy. And you know what I mean by happy. See, we think we can leave that stuff laying around. Man, it ought to make us mad, some of the stuff that's sitting at the grocery store checkout. That ought to like drive some of us crazy that our kids are that easily exposed to it. But for some of us, we've got it at home. We brought them home and just left them laying around. Listen, we got to get rid of that. Destroy the stash. Ensure accountability when traveling. Some of us travel for our jobs. Listen, you need to have somebody that you can call whenever things are tight, things aren't, you're struggling. You need to have somebody that you can speed dial and let them know that, hey, I just need to talk, I need to pray, I need to have that. Every time I go somewhere and I get a hotel bill, I always show a copy of it to somebody. My wife doesn't even know I do that. But I do that. I always get a copy and I always show it to one of my accountability partners so that I can show there's nothing on that bill, nothing was done in there that I have to be concerned about, that anybody else has to be concerned about. And that's just one of my things. If you don't have to travel alone, don't travel alone. Always keep somebody there. Always have an accountability partner that can help you with that. The third is this: protect your internet usage. Protect it. Quite honestly, I had done really good until internet kind of came along, and my addiction went crazy. Just honestly, in the very early days of that was terrible. Because I had access. It was like I could touch it anywhere and anything. And for some of us, we've got kids that got access to this stuff, and we don't even know what in the world they're looking at. We've never even looked once to see. tell you, it's time to maybe start checking. Not because you want to catch them and not so you can punish them, but just so you can help them. There may be some things that you need to sit down and talk about, to just work through and make sure that they understand the gravity of what they're doing. There's a great website called XXX Church, and I have that on every device that I own, it is on. And my wife she receives an email regularly that says, he's either been somewhere or he hasn't been somewhere. Thank goodness it says I haven't. So I haven't. But you know what? I don't ever want to take that for granted, because it's so easy to fall. So always have something that helps keep you accountable. XXXchurch.com. If somebody don't want to put it on one of their devices, let me tell you, there's probably a reason. I know that may cause some issues. That may cause some of y'all to get really mad at me. But I'm telling you, if you ain't willing to be accountable, probably a reason. Let you deal with that. You and God deal with that now. And then the final one is this: avoid all dangerous places. Just don't go anywhere that you know is going to put you in a place that could do that. Billy Graham never ate alone with another woman. He never had another woman alone in his office, in the car, anywhere. Listen, some of us are pretty comfortable with that. We just hop in the car with another woman and just take off, and it's innocent. We know it is, and I'm sure it is. Not really. Because anybody's capable of anything at any point. That's the whole deal with the hook. Let yourself get weak spiritually and see if that hook doesn't get a lot bigger and a lot sharper and get dangled a whole lot more in front of you. Just don't put yourself in a dangerous place. You've heard me say, if a woman comes to the church, and most of them know now that they don't even come in the building if I'm here by myself, they'll wait out in the car till somebody else gets here, and you don't know how much I appreciate that. But for some people, that's just it's just a common thing, and you don't see anything wrong. I just don't do it. Because I don't ever want to put myself in that place. One, you know, in this day and time now, you don't even have to do it. You can just get accused of it. You don't even have to prove it. You just can say it. Just don't put yourself in that position. Avoid all dangerous places. And then here's the very first or very final way to protect the wound. It says this: as you protect the wound from further injury or infection, God will heal your mind. You see, all of that is there, and that's the truth and the reality of all that lust can do, and the terrible beast that it can be to us. But the truth of it is that ultimately there is hope in all of it, that God can heal your mind and heal those injuries. How does that happen? Romans 12:2 says this: don't copy the behavior or customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. You see, that's what repentance is. We make such a big deal out of repentance, because all it is saying, you know what, I've been going this way thinking this. And God says, you know what, you can change your mind and go this way. And that's what repentance is. It's taking what you thought was right and now lining it up with what God says is right. It's bringing it into alignment. And it's not, you won't find it by making yourself more like the world. Only by allowing Him to be the one that truly brings healing to the mind. So listen, today I think we have to be very honest. See, My temptation in the beginning was to just say, who in this room struggles with pornography? Raise your hand. You know how many people would have raised their hand? Not one. But the truth of the matter is that, let's just be honest, there's somebody in here that does. I bet if I could collect all of the phones in the room and begin to go through the history, I probably could find somebody in here that's got something. Just being honest. But listen, I just want you to know today that I don't want to harm you or pick on you or hurt you or anything else. But I want you to be able to come and find that mercy. You see, when I found mercy, it was at one of the most difficult places in my life. And if I can keep anybody from ever having to experience what I experienced and my family experiencing what they experienced, I'm going to do it. And if I got to talk about stuff like this in church and hurt somebody's feelings and they leave and never come back because I can't believe he said that in church, you know what? I'm going to say it. Because that's what we've got to be able to do. We're family. God's brought us together to be able to help each other. He says that mercy comes from Him and that we can confess our sins. And when we confess them, that He's faithful and just to forgive us and heal us. And it says that by confessing our sins to one another, that we're able to pray for one another and experience healing. That doesn't mean you have to stand up in front of the church and tell everybody. It just means that you need somebody that's going to be willing to stand beside you and pray for you and go through it with you. And if we don't have a church that we can find somebody like that in it, we don't have a church. We got a social gathering. So today, I just want you to know that lust is, you can't overcome it. Just like pride, just like greed, that there are ways to do that. And it's found only in the strength of God Himself. And I'll help you any way that I can, but today you've got to be willing to be honest with yourself and with Him. And then you can be honest with everybody else. Let's pray today. God, thank you so much. God, that your word says that healing can be found for wherever we find ourselves. God, today there are people in this room struggling. God, they're seeking pleasure. They are so hooked on pleasure that they're seeking it in ways, God, that just are outside of what you've made it to be, whether it's outside of the marriage, outside of just the normal things that you've created, God, that today, God, there are people here that if they're not struggling, they know people that are. And so, God, today, I pray that your word would bring healing to those who need it. For those today who maybe say, you know what, I don't struggle with that, and I just wasted an hour of my day. And God, I pray that you would reveal to them how they can take this and use it to help someone else. God, that we can all come and at least pray for somebody that we know. So God, today I pray that you would just move in our hearts, move in the lives of the people here, and God, that we can be able to take this message and God, be changed, to be transformed. Not because we just begin to think different, but because we know different based on who you are, God. That the transforming and the renewing come from you. So God, as we just spend this time reflecting on what you want to do in our lives, God, may you just have freedom to move. Freedom to change us, God. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.